Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and Joan Adams and I host this show. We thought we were going to be talking about transforming our relationship with food this evening, but instead we're going to do a little switch and talk about all kinds of things probably, but mostly retirement and easing out of one life and into another, meaning from in this lifetime while we're still alive, I mean. And Joan and I will talk about all kinds of different stuff. So here she is, Joan Adams. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How about you?
Oh, I agree. So you have your coffee right there.
My coffee is here, and I am ready. And like I said, we never know what we might talk about anyway.
That's right. I don't really like to plan too much. Some people like to, and that's fine, and I'll go with the flow with that. But I think the shows that are not really planned are the best.
I do, too. I do, too. I think sometimes that's the most fun we can have. So, and it's more fun to hear. But,
yes, it is.
Yeah. So retirement,
Betty,
you said.
Yes. Did Betty say she was going to show up? Or?
Yeah, she said she would be listening and would call in when she could. So.
Okay. Yes, well, retirement is something that showed up as a topic on the prayer blog over the weekend. I had a 40th high school reunion, and everybody there was still working, but they were in various stages of easing out of the workforce. And I've been talking about easing out of the workforce ever since I got involved in the Internet, which I'd say was 4 years. And it's not that easy. to make that transition. And in many different ways it's not. I mean, people are afraid to do it. And either people like Mary McManus and Carol Winger have just decided to do it, and they did it, and they have successful businesses outside of punching the time clock. So that is something I have always admired.
Yes. Yes. And, of course, we've worked at home for the last 20-plus years.
Wow.
So to think about retiring, I mean, I can't imagine at this point I would ever actually retire.
Yeah.
Because, of course, my dream is to retire to the beach. But I think at that point I would still be online. I would still be working online because it's what I like. I mean, it's much a hobby as it is an a living situation. And we do all kinds of things. We always have. But anybody can do it. I mean, it can be done. But I have to chuckle. People say, oh, what am I going to do? With all this unemployment, I ain't got a job. Well, you figure out how to do it yourself. You know,
Yeah. You
don't always have to be working for somebody else. And you may have to lower your lifestyle a little bit.
Right.
You know, we don't eat steak 3 nights a week for sure. But it can be done. It can be done.
Yeah.
I think insurance cost is one of the big things for most people, and that's certainly understandable. I paid my own insurance for many years until I was old enough, to go on Medicare because I'm senior now. But that's expensive, and if you have children, that's something else to consider. So I'm really not as flip as I sound, but anybody can make money online, and anybody can make money, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are always ways to make money without an employer. Betty's not on, but I know she does real well finding like handyman types and people to do small repairs around the house and that kind of thing. That's tough to find. That's hard to find. It always amazes me that people aren't willing to do it, you know, or not skilled enough to do it, actually, because there are plenty of senior citizens who would love to have somebody do that. There are plenty of elderly who would love to have someone come in and cook and put food in the freezer.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no, in my thinking, or buy groceries, for goodness sake. Just somebody to take them to the grocery store or even to buy groceries for them.
Now,
that's not a way to make a fortune. It's not a way to make $1 million. I know one Christmas a lady paid me to help her wrap Christmas presents.
Aww.
And she had just gotten overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I met her at a grief workshop, and she said, "Do you have any time?" I said, "Well, yeah." I'm not artistic, as you well know. She said, "I really am behind on my Christmas stuff. Would you let me pay you to come wrap presents?" I said, "Sure." Whatever. Get the day and wrap presents. Babysitting is another one. Huh?
Gave you a little Christmas money.
Sure. You know, you have to swallow some of that pride sometimes, I guess, and go do what it takes. But, you know, this whole thing with the workshops that you all are doing, you're following your passion. And let me know if Betty calls in, but I want to tell you about something I just read.
Mm-hmm.
And make a note of this. I just, this afternoon, in fact, finished reading Dandelion. It took me one day.
Oh,
ordered
now
off
what is that?
Ordered it off of Tut's website.
Okay.
It is written by their mother, Andy and Mike Dooley's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the story of a horse who finds her way, and her name is Dandelion. And oh my goodness. It's a little one-day read. I started it last night, finished it this afternoon just in odd times. Because I kept wanting to get back in there. Now I want to reread it and underline. Absolutely about finding who you are and living your dream.
Right.
And it is a powerful little read. So there's a big plug for Dandelion. And I don't even have an affiliate link for it yet. But I just want it for everybody. You know how you read a book and you want everybody to read it?
Yes.
It's
well, get your affiliate a link.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. But it is a dear, sweet little book. Beautiful little Christmas present for high school grads, college students. Oh, wow.
Oh.
You know, to know all that stuff at that age, I would have been, who knows, who knows who I would be.
Oh, my gosh. Who's on the line? 562 area code?
Hi, I'm Drew from California. I just tuned in.
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
Great to have you on the show.
Thank you for, yes, I appreciate it. Are you doing readings today?
Well, today we are discussing, we were having, have an alternate plan, so today we will be just talking about anything and everything, basically. But we were going to concentrate on getting out of the workaday world and working for ourselves and maybe things that we've just come across recently that we recommend. And Joan was just talking about the book Dandelion that was written by the Dooley brothers' mother, the Tut group and the Tut website, their mother. So.
Right.
Tell us a little bit more about that, Joan. I mean, is it really an animal story, or must be a metaphor for life?
It's a metaphor for life. It's a life story, but it's about asking yourself all the questions. You know, looking inside for the answers. becoming the who you were meant to be. It is absolutely beautiful. Very well done. And like I said, I want to buy a copy for everybody. And I want to go back and underline certain phrases. But, yeah, becoming, you know, becoming our real selves, our authentic selves. And, I'm such a believer in authenticity, and that's why I loved Simple Abundance so much. Because you spend a year with that book becoming your authentic self. One of the strongest things I've ever done probably was that little book. And it's not hard nose. It's not that. It's that you're gradually making these changes. And you're not browbeating yourself to become. I don't mean that. But as the year rolls on, you realize, oh, okay, that's more like me. That feels right, you know.
Oh, that's great.
You get so you can distinguish between when you're in your own shoes and when you're, excuse the word, performing, which we all do from time to time, and we get out of our shoes a little bit and become what everybody else wants us to be instead of being our real selves. But yeah, I just think that's maybe in my mind the most important trip we take is the journey to becoming ourselves.
Wow. You know what is so interesting, because actually the question that I had today was concerning exactly this.
Oh.
Because for a long time now, or you know, at least 2-3 years, which isn't really a long time, but I've been. I guess in a training mode is how I would look at it now. And now I feel like, you know, it's like I'm there, okay? And in the beginning I felt as if it was ludicrous and ridiculous, and how could I possibly ever do this, even though it is something in my being that I feel very exceedingly strongly about. I just didn't see it for little old me. And, you know, I've gained a lot of knowledge these last 2 or 3 years, and I thought, well, maybe it's a passing thing, it'll go away. Well, it's not. But I feel like right now I'm on the forefront, and my question is, how is it that you really are positively 100% sure that, in fact, you know, that you're, I don't know how to explain
why
it exactly.
Why do you need to be? Why do you need to be 100% sure?
Because it's kind of a big undertaking, and you know what? See, I don't know. I still have questions.
Can you take a baby step?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I kind of have. See, it's a political deal. That's the problem.
Okay.
But I feel so strongly, you know, in the way that I feel, and the sad thing is, I just feel that when I hear things from other, that they're just not getting it, and it's disturbing to me. And I want to scream from the top of the buildings. I don't know how to make that very first step. You know what I mean? I don't know
What would you lose if you did it and didn't make it? Is it a money issue?
It may be. I mean, in politics these days, yes, it does cost money. It takes money. And as we can see from this election, it takes a lot of money, and not always the good candidates are going to actually win because of all this nastiness. But and I'm not sure whether – I'm just not so sure. I know it's a political thing, and I know that it's something that I feel very strongly about. And unfortunate in what it has to do with just the right thing. I think that the right thing has been discarded from – a lot of politicians.
All right, let me ask you this. Can you tell your story in writing, and can you put it out there online and see how much support you get and maybe get support?
Yeah, I guess I could do that. Yeah, I mean,
that's a free thing to do. You can set up a blogger blog in 15 minutes.
Right.
And write and see, you know, who knows. And
yeah,
test the waters. You know,
I feel that integrity is so vitally important, and it's something that really has fallen by the wayside. And it's not just on the politicians aren't completely at fault either, because I feel the American people are also to blame because they haven't been involved. to the degree that they should be in what's going on around them, and that they've allowed a lot of this stuff to actually happen. So, you know, but I feel it's so vitally important, especially right now, in the time that we live in right now. I think it's a turning point, and I don't think enough people are actually getting it.
Now, what is your idea? Tell us your idea.
Well, it's either getting out there and waking up the general public, and I'm not going to tell them which way to go. I'm just telling them, please, you know, because part of this freedom and liberty, it's not a free ride. You know, we're supposed to participate, and we're supposed to have a voice in this. And all too many people just sit around at home and complain. They don't get involved. And you know, that's not a luxury that you have. You know, freedom isn't completely free. We have to, I mean, it's like a car. You buy a new car, it runs great for a long time, but if you don't do the routine maintenance, what's going to happen? Things are going to break down, and eventually your car is going to cease to run. And I think we're in between the things breaking down and ceasing to run part here. So I think that, you know, and a lot of people, for whatever reason, aren't seeing that. They are either apathetic when they shouldn't be, because we the people still have the power, and we're still the ones that can determine things. And I just think that they don't realize that they're not victims, and they're not, you know, I mean, your congressman's not, you know, forcing anything on you. You still have a voice to say, hey, I don't like that, or I do like that, or but you need to exercise your voice.
Yeah, let me ask you something. And Betty did try to get on and got lost, Kate. But let me ask you this, too. You can make a page on Facebook and start getting fans on Facebook.
Right.
So that you are, are you familiar with that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that you have because what you need is a podium.
Right.
You need a place to express your feelings on this thing. And and so you can do it with Facebook, you can do it with articles, you can do it with blogs, thank goodness for the internet.
Right.
We have tons of places to do that kind of thing. We're both on Squidoo, and we love Squidoo. But you know, wherever you can find to write online, to write articles, to write posts, to gather a Facebook following, and I would make it real clear that you're not about choosing a political side. You are about being politically active in this country.
Right. I mean, it to me, it's like, okay, it's like part of your norm, you know, part of your normal routine ought to be, because, you know, it's not just politics, it's our future here. And you need to be involved in that. You just can't, I mean, you know, our forefathers, these men were selfless individuals and created this form of government for us to have a voice so that we could, in fact, guide the way our destiny went. And to, you know, just let that fall by the wayside and then complain about it on top of it is ludicrous. That's like blaming someone else for something that you've got a big part in being at fault for. And I just don't think people are getting it. They just, I mean, yeah, more so now than maybe before, but not on the scale that it needs to be addressed.
Well, the other thing you need to consider, too, when I keep going back to how you're going to do this online, because that was your original question, is what you're going to do with it, is that the Internet...
So that it doesn't cost a lot of money.
Right. The Internet is a worldwide community. So you need to be sure that you focus it toward a U.S. Audience.
Right.
And again, back to Facebook, you know, if you use a U.S. flag or whatever as your group, as your Facebook fan page logo, and start some discussions on your page and post from your page, then you will... If you're posting, you know, quotes from politicians from the past, honor and integrity and those things, you'll get following.
Right.
You'll get people who will follow you. And I just think, honestly, in this time and place in history, we are so blessed to have the power of the Internet.
Yes.
We can, you know, we just have the opportunity to write. It is virtually free.
Right.
We can be, again, we can be very authentic and be who we were meant to be and get it, you know, create our own podium. Don't you think, Kate?
Yeah, I believe that you just have to learn it. There's a learning curve.
Yes.
And if Joan and I can do it, go through that learning curve, anybody can.
And
right.
Back. Have you ever blogged before?
You know what? Actually, I did. I had some blogs, and one was called A Call to Action, and it actually dabbled on what I'm saying right now. And I was just really disappointed that that it wasn't getting the attention that I thought, and I don't mean mine. Anybody else could have written the same thing. The attention just wasn't there, you know. I feel like I would maybe be more effective in starting maybe at the city level, you know, where I live, and speaking out at, I don't know, council meetings or whatever, you know. But I do know that once people do, and a lot of people think, unfortunately, that their voice doesn't matter. And see, there's multi-millions of people in this country that think that. And if they would utilize their voice, it would really matter, you know. But they're just not getting it. Now, I live close to a city named Bell, and they did just that. They were getting really, you know, their public officials were doing really bad things to them. And they got up, let their voice be heard, and the action that they wanted is being done because they stood up and they took the reins and they made it happen. So if they could do that in this little city of Bell, anybody could do it.
Well, in my opinion, one of the greatest public servants of all time in politics, ever in American politics, is Jerry Brown. He's running for governor of your state. He is the perfect human being who exemplifies this thing that you're talking about. He doesn't have a lot of money, you know, or maybe he does, but he lives frugally. He's always served the people, always.
Oh, well, see, I don't want to get into politics, but I remember when he was governor last time, and personally, I was not happy with his, and I'm not saying I'm advocating the other candidate either. I'm not really thrilled with either choice, to tell you the truth, you know, and I just, you know, that's kind of discouraging too, you know, is that I don't fully think that either of them are fit for the job, you know. But the thing is, though, is people need, and this comes from people who don't get out there and vote. They don't vote in the primary. And the primary is exceedingly important. The primary is where you choose these people. And there's not enough participation in that realm either. But whatever the case may be, I just think that there's a lot of integrity that's been lost, and we need to keep it simple and get back to basics and stop all the political charades and smear campaigns and all this stuff. Just run on your record. And if your record's not good enough, then maybe you shouldn't be running, you know? But anyway, I appreciate you taking my call, and I thank you for your advice. And I'm going to, as soon as I get off the phone right now, I'm going to take that and put it into action. So
good.
I
wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Good.
Well, thank you for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
I go back to the whole thing about the Internet. She's right. She can get out in the community. But again, it's about taking action ourselves. And that's true whether you're unemployed or looking for work or trying to retire or what you're trying to do. And, of course, in Dandelion, they make Dandelion makes a big point of learning how to visualize what you want in life. And, you know, that is such a big thing with me. You're not around me long till I'm talking about visualizing. But, you know, we have to have a picture of where we want to go.
Yes. And some,
not
and
how
what
we're
going to
get there. Huh?
Now, the simple abundance, is that what it was called that you did for a year?
Yeah. And I, you would enjoy that, Kate, because you're even, you're more domestic than I am. It's very
yes.
domestic. And, of course, a whole lot of exercises I never did do because they had to do with cooking or planning something or whatever. But the entire, in fact, my book, my copy of Simple Abundance is so written in and so dog-eared, and I even ripped out a bunch of pages to take with me to the beach one time about setting up my imaging pages. It's so me. It's just, it's not heavy theologically. It's not heavy spiritually. It's just life stuff. But it's about being authentic.
Right.
And I really, really enjoyed that one. And my copy, my friend of mine says, I think that Tammy gave me my copy in 97.
Mm-hmm.
And since that time, I have a whole list of people I've given copies to since. I don't know that anybody has loved it quite as much as I did. Sometimes I think there are books that just hit at the right time. But I'll go back to that book right this very minute. It is in there on my bed.
Okay.
You know, and I will, you know, I'll look up something or I'll look up today's date and see what the, because it's dated. It's a daily reader. So it's not something that you buy and, you know, you read it every morning.
Right.
But, yeah, anybody with a routine, a morning devotional, quiet time, whatever you want to call it, would love it, I think. Women who are. Because whether, like I said, whether you cook that recipe that day or not is not the point. The
well,
point
I never
is,
cook any recipe, unfortunately.
But it's about going through the process. You know,
uh-huh.
I know you did Course in Miracles, and Course in
yes.
Miracles is very heavy and very difficult. This is not that at all. This is, and very rewarding. I don't want to take anything away from the course because I have a number of friends who have done it and loved it, and it's very deep. This is not that kind of heavy is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Course in Miracles is very heavy. I agree.
Yeah, it's. Of course, in Miracles, in my mind, in fact, I've always said I would never try to do it alone. And I think you did it alone, and my friend Kathy did it alone. But I would want to do that, I think, with a group. I think it would throw me. But because there's just so many questions and so much deep thinking in it that I can't imagine doing that alone. I've done pieces of it, parts of it, and, of course, have discussed it with people. And but anyway... All of that.
I was thinking we should write a book called Simple Authenticity.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, and Dandelion, I'm back to Dandelion again, but really gets into that. I like when she was with the racehorses, then she wanted to be a racehorse. And when she was on the farm, then she thought she had to be a farm animal. And this wise old horse taught her that she needs to be herself.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, you would love it. It's just a neat little read that you would totally enjoy.
I've seen it on that site and have thought about it. So,
Well, I had thought about it for a long time, and I finally just jumped into it last week. So I kept thinking, I thought it was a children's book.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize it was. It's not. It's appropriate for a high school child.
Yes. Okay, I think Betty might be on.
Oh, good.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello, BR.
But I'm having a time getting on. I keep getting blanked out. Like I've logged in gone in five times. And
uh-uh.
I keep getting blank pages and no volume. So... anyway, I decided I'd call and just put my 2 cents worth in.
Good.
Good.
Hey, that
well,
was
good. Great. We were talking about being simply authentic in our lives. But we were talking about retirement, too.
Oh, yeah, we started with retirement, and then we went to political, and now we're to the real self. So you've covered a world of topics here.
Well, I think retirement is a word that is misleading, because in our parents' generation, I think they thought that when you retired, you just basically maybe hung out for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and did nothing.
But I think our generation has a whole new take on it.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, and I think we're all retiring later.
Yeah.
I mean, like I told, put on your blog the other day, I'm 70.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working.
Congratulations.
Full. Yeah, how about that?
Happy birthday.
I crossed that one. But I'm still working full-time and part-time, and then trying to do my own fun things like writing and all, you know. So
yeah.
I think we are living fuller in retirement age, and that is coming later, and that's
mm-hmm.
obvious to the by Social Security years and so on. So but I think the main thing with your younger listeners is, like I said in my comment, is to enjoy the journey. You know, retirement may or may not happen, and you've got to enjoy every day.
Yeah.
And be you, be yourself, your real self. And then retirement will happen in due time.
Right. If it's part of that picture. Because I'm like you, I think more and more people, well, you work at home if you're not working in a job.
Right. We're all busy and have things, you know, and they're not necessarily, well, volunteering is one thing. I work most of my, well, I'd say at least half of my volunteers are over 65, and mm-hmm. that's astounding. With people living longer, they are more active, they're more alert, and one of my best friends is, wow, Jane, over 83.
80.
Over 80, I know.
Yeah, 82 probably. Now, and busiest human in the world.
And, I mean, plays golf, travels, drives, through different states. She's volunteering almost every day of the week, day and night. She's amazing.
Wow.
And an accomplished musician. Yeah.
Oh, accomplished musician.
Oh, wow. We just have to figure out what it is we want to do and do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I just met this gentleman whom I haven't seen in 40 years. We had a 40th high school reunion over the weekend. And he's a very humble fella. I really, really enjoyed him in high school. And I saw him a few times afterwards, but that was it. And then he contacted me on Facebook and said that he wanted to, see what interest there was in having this reunion. And there was tremendous interest, so we went ahead and had it this weekend. But what I wanted to say is, so humble that he never told us that he is one of the most accomplished auto harp players on the East Coast.
Oh, my.
We played music with him, and we were amazed. We were amazed how great he was. And one of my high school friends who couldn't make it due to an illness wrote to me and said that that this fella is a virtuoso, but he never even mentions the stuff that he is good at. He's just such a humble dude. And so anyway, it was really fun playing music with him. And it makes me want to, but he is a family physician, and he works all the time. So that he doesn't have the chance to really do this wonderful skill as much as he would really like to do, even though he has his own band. I don't know how it's just amazing how busyness can create more creativity than anything else. But I think there is a danger in just absolute burnout by not listening to your authentic self, once again, by not tuning in to what it is you need to do to find balance in your life.
I find that a real problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think we forget to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, Kate?
Not so much anymore. In other words, I can say no to people.
Well, I'm not good at no, and then there's always something else I want to do. I allow myself to get too spread out and too involved and take it all too seriously and, you know, want to do it right. And so I usurp all my energies, and then, as Joan well knows, I burn out. And then, you know, you crash and you realize, wait a minute, Joan reminds me. You know, you have to stop and take care of yourself.
Right.
And then you can do, but, you know, we learn as we go along. We continue to learn every day, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that's what we're doing.
Betty, have you ever met Mary McManus?
No.
You've heard Mary.
Oh, I have.
Well, she's on the line, so let's introduce the two of you. Just a minute.
Okay.
Well, I can't get this thing to work. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Kate. Hello, Betty. Hello, Joan.
Hi.
You're listening. This is
so
cool.
We wanted you to meet Betty voice to voice.
Thank you so much.
This is fun, Mary. I'm so glad to meet you.
Betty, you're a tape? Are you a tape?
I'm a tape.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the oldest of the girls.
Oh, wow. Well, it is indeed a blessing to meet you. Thank you, Kate and Joan.
Thank you, Mary.
Well, I think that the three of us have a lot in common, or the four of us, I should say. I can't count either. My God.
Y'all are going to have to, I'm going to have to find another phone because the static is terrible. So
okay.
I'm going to
talk about
myself.
You while you're gone.
Y'all talk about me.
Yeah, but you can listen to the archive. No one will be in trouble. Can we edit it out, Kate?
Oh, my heavens.
It might be just having too many on the line, Kate. I don't know whether you're set up, and I really want to try to get back on, and I'll listen to you all visit a little bit. Let me wait till Joan gets back. But, Mary, we've been covering the topics here.
I know. It's great. And, you know, you were talking about burning out and Bernie Siegel. Do you know his work? I know Kate does. Do you know his work, Betty?
No.
He actually was this era, if you will, is a strong proponent of the mind-body connection. And back in the late 70s and 80s, he was talking about the importance of self-care, about self-love, about healing, about our connection to divinity and how important that is in terms of healing our bodies from disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sort of call him the father of mind-body medicine in this era. Of course, we know it's been forever, but he talks about, and I love his phrase, he says, you have to burn up, not out.
Oh,
and
wow.
Isn't that powerful?
That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, I brought Joan, you're on now. So.
Thank you.
Oh, Joan, that is better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, static. Static was terrible.
I'm getting booted out of the chat, too. Like, this is
really?
The fifth time. Yeah.
So,
fifth time. Anyway.
The book that's one of Bernie Siegel's most famous book, what is it called? I forget.
Love, Medicine, and Miracles.
There you go.
Yeah.
You would love that book, Betty. I'm serious.
And, Betty, you know who gave it to me was our cousin Linda Mann.
You are kidding.
Mm-mm. And that's been... That was popular in the, what did y'all say, 60s?
Wow.
I think 70s, yeah.
That's been a while.
But that is
yeah.
unusual, too, because Linda is several years older than we are.
Yes.
And, I mean, I think that was certainly a progressive thinking on her part.
Yes.
I'm impressed that she...
Yeah.
My mother loved Bernie Siegel.
Mm-hmm.
And
really,
I remember this story where she had a tape of his, and we all she demanded that we all sit at the table and listen. And my husband-to-be at the time, Thomas, was there, and he leaned over to say something to me. And my mother says, "No, no, you have to listen to this. Stop talking."
Did she know him personally, Kate?
Oh, no, okay. She did not, but it was the funniest thing. We laugh about that even now.
Mary,
I
work in a hospital, too, and I'm in guest services and work with everyone walking in the door and over 80 volunteers. But the thing that I'm impressed with our hospital is, gosh, what, 5 years at least, Joan, ago, we incorporated a mind-body institute at our hospital. And I was just really impressed that they would do that on a medical field, on our campus, in our complex. And we have an acupuncturist who is well-renowned in the South. And it's just, it's really neat that of all the, you know, that it's accepted as part of what's offered to the public here.
Well, hopefully we're moving in that direction now, and I can't imagine this hospital having that, but, and I'm thankful yours does, because I think more and more of them will as time progresses. I think we're waking up a little bit and realizing that that it's a, here we go again, is a word, but the holistic thing is just part of the whole picture. I don't care what they do to you. If you've got a bad attitude, that healing's not coming easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
I'm going to
let you all chat.
It.
I'm going to try to get on one more time to see if I can listen. But it's been wonderful to chat with you. And
nice to meet you, buddy.
Oh,
we'll
you too.
Touch.
Take
I'm
care.
So glad you all got
Thank you so much.
To say hi. Yeah.
Great. Love ya.
Love you.
Love you, Betty.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's, are we all here?
Yeah, I'm here. Mary, are you here?
I'm here, presenting. But that's such a wonderful story about Bernie, because the first time I heard him, it was on a cassette tape as well. And I often joke and say I was a really slow learner, because he was teaching me back in the 80s of, you know, where my blocks were, and he used my drawings. When I was dealing with infertility and how to unblock that. And, but I really believe this time I'm finally getting it. I know I am. And, but it's amazing, and it is a journey, and we're learning every day. But he's just been just a wonderful, wonderful influence in terms of balancing one's life and the use of humor. That's one of his big, big things, how important it is to laugh and to laugh at ourselves. And he's been a godsend in my life. And he actually, I don't know if I mentioned this the last time I was on your show, but he started a series of healing journals through Rosenberry Books.
Oh.
And he's encouraging people, he's sharing his poetry, and then he's encouraging people to write their own poetry as a way to bypass the conscious mind. It's just another way, you know, you can use drawings, music, any of the arts. But he started this series of healing journals for poetry and encouraging people to use that as a healing art form, which I think is pretty amazing.
Which you do.
Which
exactly.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he knows that you do it, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I've been on his show. I'm going to be on his show again November 2nd, and we're going to be talking about that. And it's just anything that people can find. And, you know, with retirement, I know it's so funny, Kate and Joan, how people, it's like it becomes a part of our mindset, or it did mine, and you even mentioned it. I think you overheard people talking about it at the hospital or something, but it's amazing how, like, I had my plan, and it was based on retirement. And, of course, man plans and God laughs, and, you know, I was going to retire in 3 years and go work in Bloomingdale's part-time and do whatever, and, you know, that's not what my calling was or what my plan was. But, and even when I went back to the VA, I went to a colleague's retirement party. She'd been there for, I think, 38 years as a social worker. And everybody was talking about, you know, how much longer do you have? Like, it's a prison sentence.
Oh, I know. Isn't that true? Oh, my gosh. That's scary.
Yeah.
It
and
is.
And I think maybe people who have been in a particular job for a lifetime have more of that mindset. I remember Whitey's parents talking about that, living for the day that they retired. And then they retired and didn't know what to do. I mean, I know Ms. Adams said to me one time, she said, I wish I hadn't retired so soon. Literally, had no interest, no hobbies, no, you know, they literally didn't know what to do with themselves.
Wow.
And I think now most people retire knowing they'll take another career or another something. You know, I'm going to play senior golf or I'm going to whatever. It has a more active, it's a more active plan than I'm going to sit in the front porch and rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes.
I have another friend who swears her mother sat down and died after she retired. You know,
well,
it's
I've
what
heard
she
so
knew.
Many stories. Yeah, I've heard so many stories, especially of men who retire and then have gotten cancer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just, or heart attacks. They just did not know what to do, and the women were waiting for their spouses to retire so that
right.
they could start living their lives, and then they're suddenly a widow. It becomes a tragedy as opposed to not seeing retirement as this thing, but rather, you know, choosing it.
And well, and it's like Betty said, too, enjoying every day in the journey until then.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the make, what is it they said? Life is what happens to you while you're making other plans. You know, and that's true. You know, you have to have the vision of where you want to go, but certainly you have to enjoy the trip.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know?
If you don't enjoy the trip, then forget it. Then
right.
it's not worth it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a total waste of life in my book. And you've heard me say, I'm sure on this show before, I walked away from a lot of jobs in my day. Thank goodness for clerical help, because clerical help can walk anytime. But, you know, if I was miserable, I walked it. Life's too short and life's too difficult not to enjoy what you're doing 8 hours a day, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a chunk of your life. You know, you darn well better be having, not hee-haw good time, I don't mean that, but enjoying it and feeling some sense of satisfaction in it.
And a sense of purpose.
And a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked the hardest at the jobs that meant the most to me, where I felt I was making the biggest difference. But I enjoyed the work because it mattered. You know, I felt that it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Yeah, I think, and you've got to read Dandelion, Mary.
Okay, I've got to add that. I've got this list that you've been giving me.
You'll love that. That's
Christmas
the sweetest little book. It's a feel good and it's very affirming. Most of it you know already, but it's good to read it again in another form. All of these lessons we need to read again and again every way we can get them, I think.
Oh,
I know. I totally agree. Being finished with learning these things. It's a constant reinforcement every day.
Every day. And every time we read it, we get a little bit bigger dose, I hope. You know, cement a little bit of that in our minds and hearts, maybe. I hope.
And yeah, and that's where, Kate, your prayer blog is so powerful because, you know, it's the same message in different forms over and over and over again. But it's one central theme, which is living in love.
Right.
I know. Right. I sometimes think, oh, my God, I've said this so many times that maybe I should stop saying it, but there's always a different way. There seems to be always a different way to say it. So.
Right. And you keep going. You keep following. What you've done there is follow your instincts, follow your insides, your inner guidance, and that's what makes it work. And the minute you start censoring that, you're in trouble.
I know.
Dr. Joan has spoken.
Love that.
Because you have, that's exactly what you do. I've seen you do it. I've watched you do it. And you literally, it comes from inside of who you are. That's why it works.
We'd be driving along, and suddenly I'd be looking at my iPhone to see, well, especially what Mary would have to say on the prayer blog, and then I'd read it out loud, and we all have something to say. You, me, and Kathy especially would laugh and laugh and laugh. It was great.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't know you were being read out loud across the country.
I had no idea. But, you know, that's the amazing thing. We were talking before about having the Internet, and that's the amazing thing is that we're putting all this out there. We don't know where it's landing. We don't know on whose hearts it's landing. We don't know, you know, how far-reaching it is. I mean, just when you said that, I got this little ripple up and down my arms and said, oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, I come and I share what's in my heart, and I do it in large part for me because, you know, as I said, that's my breakfast of champions and gets me started for the day. But then you never know.
Mm-hmm. No,
and
we don't
that's
know.
That's cool. That's really great.
And that's the good part. In my mind, is that not only do we not know who's going to read it, but we have no control. So it's a faith thing, you know. It's a faith walk. It's an unstated faith walk, but it's, you know, this is what's on my heart right now. This is what I'm going to say, and you don't know who's going to hear it later and be touched by it.
And, you know, Joan, you were talking about hope, the message of hope, and I sent you both an email today about this incredible woman that I met yesterday, and she had quite a journey, is having quite a journey, and out of the loss of her mother, her father, and also a dog, all to cancer within a very short period of time, her niece created this dog called Trouble. And she's now bringing a message of hope and healing. And she gave me the book yesterday, and then she said, "I wanted to bring you a trouble, but I wasn't sure how you would receive him." And I said, "Oh, come on, that would have been awesome." But you know, we met for the first time. So, but I sent it to you, and then you can check out her website. And I think you're friends with her on Facebook, but. You know, this is what we need in this world. We need these symbols of hope and healing and resiliency. And the more ways that we can get this message, whether it's through Dandelion or there's also a book about unicorns you told me about, Joan.
Oh, I love that little book.
Yeah, and the prayer blog and your Squidoo lenses and my blog and Trouble and... You know, because the message is that when trouble comes, get tough. And one woman actually said that I said to Sheila when I saw his little caricature on her Facebook page, I said, I was drawn to it like a magnet. And she said, it's funny you said that because a psychic said to her that trouble has a soul. And, you know, this is the direction we're moving in. And the more creative... And this ties into retirement, too, you know, that she left any semblance of a full-time job and decided to follow this passion. And then she's using a portion of the proceeds. Her dream is to build a sanctuary for dogs. And a hospice for children because that doesn't exist, hospice care for kids. So, but it was interesting when you said hope, and that made me think of that. And, you know, just the more that we can find all these wonderful, wonderful resources that can help us to heal. And Kate, I just have to tell you, speaking of healing and transformation, the whole notion of memory in the Fire of Love today.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Well, those prayers the last few days, I kept thinking, I didn't have any faith in them, and I didn't even want to put them out, but I did it anyway, and I'm glad that you guys liked it.
Oh, yeah. Because it's so important. What if you didn't have it?
I know.
You know,
oh my
your
God.
Memory.
No memory. Yeah.
Your memory, your visitation with people. I mean, how many times a day do you think of somebody from back in your memory? And how many times do you hold on to those? I think they're healing. I think they're hope. They bring hope.
Mm-hmm.
Your memories.
Yeah.
But that's heavy stuff. That's important stuff. All that memory stuff is big. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. It is all good.
It is all good. And I'll tell you the other thing when you were talking about resources and the unicorn and dandelion and Tut on all of those things, there's an amazing amount of work out there right now. That is carrying this the message of hope it's a wave of that is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
A wave, and it started in my mind in the 60s, 70s, and has continued.
Yes, I keep getting that whole idea of that simple authenticity. I think that's what we need to strive for.
The authenticity, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's because particularly in the South, I wish Betty was still on, but we were taught so how to behave. You know, Southern ladies, Southern ladies just do certain things.
Right, right. Or ladies in general.
Ladies get that in a heavy dose is, you know, we must behave like young ladies no matter what. And we've moved forward from that, I think. And I think we've learned that we are learning that it's more important to be real. And that doesn't mean you tell everybody off everywhere you go, but that you operate out of your own selfhood and not out of a need to do the proper thing. Which is a whole different view than the way we came up in the 50s. It's the flip side. Nobody ever used the word authenticity to me, and I think my mother was about the most real person in the world. But I think we, as a culture, you know, we learned the appropriate ways to do and behave.
Go ahead.
We didn't listen to our inner voice.
Right, the inner voice.
Oh. Right.
Reminds me of your Dr. Mary telling you that you'll be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life, and if you would have believed it, you probably would be.
Right.
Exactly.
The latest thing that is going on is the flu shot. I would never, personally, I know I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I wouldn't get a flu shot. I just don't think that they're safe.
Do you have to take one, Kate, at the hospital? Or can you opt out of that?
I can opt out, and I always will. Even if it was mandatory, I would tell them to go screw themselves because I think if your immune system is suffering, maybe it's a good thing. But I've seen too many side effects very serious side effects that cause paralysis. And this one doctor had a flu shot.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He got that,
yeah.
And he almost died. And so I said, I guess you don't recommend this to your patients anymore. And he said, no. My whole point, though, is that people are browbeaten who don't want the shot. They're browbeaten into getting it because they think, well, maybe I should because everybody's forcing me into it. That's just a good example
mm-hmm.
of not listening to your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
Another example.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And fortunately, I think there is, little by little, there are inroads being made in the medical community. We at Mass General, I just found out that there is a whole, it's called Odyssey, and its primary care provider started this complementary and alternative medicine with a primary care model, if you will, if you can imagine that. But they include they include a chiropractor, they include acupuncture, massage therapy.
My phone is dying.
Uh-oh.
I love y'all. Phone is out.
Love you. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
Go ahead, Mary.
So, and they have these monthly meetings where they get together and they network and they have guest speakers who come and talk about the benefits of complementary and alternative medicine. And it's pretty amazing, you know? So
Yeah.
And then Betty was talking about it at her hospital. So I believe that little by little, you know, this will be the way. And I did think about you today, dear Kate. Well, I think about you every day, but my husband got his benefits package from where he works. And last year I said, oh, my God, how we've changed. Because last year it was, we have to have the most coverage available. And then I started looking at the plans. Well, first of all, I thought about, you know, single payer, HALA.
Yes.
But realized how much my choice was based on fear last year. You know, well, I need to have this coverage just in case. And now I'm like, hey, we can save over $600 a month by just, you know, choosing this other plan.
Yeah.
So there you have it, you know.
Yes, choosing, making choices out of fear. People think it's not out of fear. They think it's some sort of a logical, rational way to think, but it's not. It's total fear-based.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
So when we do listen to our authentic voice, and the same thing with retirement, you know, people either hold on to their job or they leave their job based on fear as opposed to what do they really want to do, you know, what makes sense for their life.
Yeah, it's like 50% or more of me that loves patient care, and I would be sad to let it go, but there's the other, you know, the whole corporate takeover of America. And I used to think, well, it's just medicine, but it's everything. It's every business. Everybody's life is affected by the corporations, which is not authentic. You know, once again, it has no authenticity whatsoever. And it's just, I think that's going to break down. I don't think that people want to be dictated to by corporations, and I think that's going to have to change. Getting back to the woman who called earlier, I think that the corporations are something that are kind of leading the way to an unauthentic expression. And in America, especially, because even though it's creeping all over the world, but it's really bad here, that will have to change. It will have to.
And the more of us that get together and live our authentic lives, and it's not about, as you have said in the prayer blog over and over and over again, it's not about the confrontation. It's not about, you know, resisting and going up against it. It's by us putting out our authentic energy, then it can dissolve in the wake of that energy.
Yes, yes. Well, Mary, we've come to the end of this wonderful hour.
What a surprise! I didn't plan this. I said, oh, my goodness, let me see what's on Moo Moo and you. And then I saw, you know, it was going to be Laura, and then I saw retirement, and I said, oh, let me join the party. So thank you. This is wonderful.
Yes, it's fine. I think Laura will be on at a different time. She and I probably need to talk on the phone instead of emailing is not the most optimal way to communicate. It's all fine and good.
So. It is all fine. It is. Well, great to talk to you. And
I love you. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, hon.
You
have a great night.
You too.
Always love you.
All
right, hon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.